Good evening, everyone. I would like to call this meeting of the City Council of University City to order at around 6:33 on January 13, 2020. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay. Councilmember Carr.
Present.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Present.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Present.
Mayor Crum.
Here. I'd like the record to reflect that Councilmember Steve McMahon is excused. Before you, you have the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Motion by Ms. Carr. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Discussion. Ms. Carr.
Mayor Crow, I would like to postpone the item under unfinished business, L2, until date certain, January 27th, 2020.
Thank you. There is a motion to amend the agenda that is seconded by Mr. Cusick. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor, I would ask you and the council to move agenda item number J2 to the city manager's report.
Thank you. Any concerns? I don't know. Does the city manager, do I need a motion for that one too, John? When he wants to move it? Motion. Motion by Mr. Hale, seconded by Ms. Carr. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I would like a motion now, as amended before you, that we approve the agenda for tonight's meeting. Is there a motion? Motion by Ms. Carr. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no proclamations this evening. Before you, you have several minutes that need to be approved. We'll go one at a time. The November 11th, 2019 study session regarding CALIP. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Clay, seconded by Ms. Carr. Any discussion? Ms. Carr, your light's on. Are you? Hearing no discussion, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you November 25th, 2019 study session regarding Washington University. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Next, you have November 25th, regular meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Clay, seconded by Ms. Carr. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you December 9th, 2019 study session minutes regarding strategic communications. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you December 9th, 2019 regular meeting minutes. Motion that they be approved by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Clay, any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. I would like to appoint Adam Brown on behalf of the City Council to the St. Louis County Council for the University of Missouri Extension effective March 1st, 2020. Is there a second to my motion? Seconded by Ms. Carr. Is there discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. As you may recall, for the Economic Development Strategic Plan Task Force, my nominees were to come from the EDRST board. I would like to nominate Kathy Sorkin, Tracy Moore, and Byron Price to the Economic Development Strategic Plan Task Force. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Hales.
I'd like to nominate to the Economic Development Strategic Plan Task Force Matt Erker.
Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Carr. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Smotherson, you have a couple.
I'd like to nominate Kevin Taylor to the Economic Development Strategic Plan Task Force and myself.
Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Carr. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. On behalf of Mr. McMahon, Mr. Hales, would you like to take care of your colleague from the First Ward?
Certainly. On behalf of Mr. McMahon, I'd like to nominate Karen Nielsen to the Economic Development Strategic Plan Task Force.
Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Carr. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Hales. You have another one for Mr. McMahon underneath the... He had two nominations. One is Ms. Nielsen and one is, am I saying this correctly, Sam Estep? Am I missing that? That's... Well, anyone can make this motion on behalf of Mr. McMahon. There's a motion by Ms. Carr, I believe, to nominate Mr. Estep to the EDRST Task Force, seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. I apologize for that. Ms. Carr, you have two.
Yes. I would like to nominate for reappointment Ms. Ellen Hartz to the Plan Commission.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Ms. Carr.
I would like to nominate for reappointment to the Plan Commission Mr. Mark Harvey.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no swearing-ins this evening. We now will move to citizen participation. This portion of the agenda is limited to 15 minutes for those of you who may not have been here before. And if you'd like to speak, there are sign-up sheets over by the door. When your name is called, please come to the podium, give your name and address. You are limited to 5 minutes. This particular section is at 15. Those folks who we do not complete, on non-agenda items, we will then carry you forward to the end of the meeting. There are folks who have signed up on agenda items, and you will be called at that time. However, those of you who wanted to speak on the legislative item that was number 9398, you can either speak during citizen comments or now or even during the legislative portion, but that item has been moved to 2 weeks from today. Just to give you a heads up. The first request to speak this evening is Roosevelt Irving. If you'll please come to the podium and push the bottom center button. I think Ms. Reese will probably help you there and give your name and address. And
yeah. When you finish, push it. Oh, okay. Yeah, my name is Roosevelt Irving. I live 1443. 78th Street, University City, and I wanted to find out about street improvement. Lead to my house. Was at North and South and Wayne. When are they going to, kind of smooth that area out? The two blocks from North and South to 78th Street.
Sir, we normally don't answer questions during this portion. If that is a question, I can assure you that the city manager will have someone from Public Works be in contact with you to take care of that question for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next request to speak is Mike Geiger. If you could hit the button at the bottom. Thank you, sir.
My name is Mike Geiger. I live at 830 Vanderbilt. I've been a resident of University City for about 45 years. It's a pleasure to be here tonight and talk about my support for Habitat for Humanity's proposal to build 7 homes in the Third Ward. I'm the president of the Parkview Gardens Association, and it helps, I think, to reflect upon our success in renovating the Parkview Gardens neighborhood in the 90s. We basically took our $500,000 of bingo money and leveraged it to $25 to $30 million of renovation in cooperation and support with the city of University City and about five or six other agencies. We utilize affordable housing as a key to the jumpstart, the renovation, and we continue to own 22 buildings, 114 units in the neighborhood that provide diversity, economic and racial diversity to the neighborhood. I, for the past 20 years, have been a volunteer construction leader 2 and 3 days a week with Habitat for Humanity. Was there today pounding nails on houses. We're five houses we're building in the city of St. Louis on North Tucker. Habitat for Humanity has built 10 houses in the Third Ward about 7 or 8 years ago. I had the pleasure and honor of helping to build each of those houses along with families who now reside for them and have resided from them. We put in 350 hours of sweat equity in renovating those houses. As many of you know, Habitat for Humanity has been around in St. Louis for 30 years, built over 400 houses. We build LEED certified platinum houses, which is the highest grade. We're the largest developer of LEED certified housing in this region, highest average efficiency. Also do an excellent job of screening all the applicants who buy these houses. Habitat for Humanity has an excellent track record throughout the metropolitan area, is in quite demand, high demand to build houses, to bring their skills to a variety of neighborhoods. And I'm honored and pleased that they are now considering to come back to University City and look forward to working on their projects as a volunteer construction leader. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Our next request to speak is Mary D. Schmidt. If you could hit the button at the bottom, thank you.
Got it.
Thank
okay.
you.
Good evening. I'm Mary D. Schmidt, and I live at 819 Jackson. I've been a resident of University City for, I think it's 47 years, and a proud member. As a longtime resident and as a member of the Christ the King Social Justice Committee, I support the building of the 7 homes by Habitat for Humanity in the Third Ward. I also support Brent Rome and Ben Evans' continued service on the Loop Special District Board. I reject the proposed ordinance that would not allow them to serve. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next request to speak is Tom Sullivan.
Tom Sullivan, 751 Syracuse. I have a few things to mention. On Saturday, I was notified by the Missouri Ethics Commission that the University City Library and its director, Patrick Wall, were fined $1,100 for violating state election laws. The library illegally spent public money to support the property tax increase that was on the ballot last year and also violated the campaign finance disclosure law. This follows the Friends of the University City Library also being fined $1,100 last year for violating election laws, too. The group is closely aligned with the library. Both actions were the result of complaints I made. I think the fines were much too lenient for what was essentially the corruption of an election. I intend to take the matter up with federal authorities. I think Patrick Wall should be fined a lot more and spend time in a federal prison. You might recall there was once a comptroller in St. Louis who was forced to resign and spend time in prison for putting a stalking horse on the ballot to help him win re-election. Unlike the situation with the library, no public money was involved. It's pretty bad that you can't even trust the library anymore in University City. The city government and the UCity School District have also took part in corrupting elections. Now you can add the library to the list. When I grew up in University City, it could be taken for granted that city officials were honest, ethical people. Those days are long gone. The ILO 170 development that was promoted as a financial bonanza for University City is now being delayed even further to July or longer. It looks like the city may have another fiasco to add to the list. It continues to be absurd that you want to tear down a large part of the western part of the city that is thriving while failing to address so many problems in the Loop and the eastern end of the city. The old Cicero spot in the Loop has now been vacant for over 2 years. Same for the old Bread Company space. Sometimes the parking spots on Delmar between Kingsland and Leland are 75% empty in the middle of the day. There are many other vacancies in the Loop, and the Loop trolley that was supposed to bring thousands of tourists to the Loop is a crashing failure, even making the national news. The storefronts at Del Mar and Midland have been vacant for some time. There are still the big empty lot at North and South and Olive. There's been several vacancies in the Chinook Center for a year or longer, with vacancies also across the street. A gas station at Ferguson and Olive has long been closed. Olive east of Kingsland is just a big mess. In the middle of all this, Councilwoman Carr comes out with a statement saying she isn't going to run again and that everything is going great in University City. The city has changed for the better, and we should be thankful to her and other, quote, reformers, she says. Her newsletter headline was, "Looking to the Future." It should have been, "Looking to the Future, Leaving a Mess Behind." Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Our next request to speak is Mimi Taylor Hendricks.
Hi, good evening. My name is Mimi Taylor Hendricks, and I live at 1314 Midland Drive here in University City. And I am, no, it's not on the agenda for today, but I am speaking in support of Habitat for Humanity's plan to build new homes in the Third Ward. They have a solid reputation, as you know, for encouraging and supporting home ownership in neighborhoods that have been underserved by traditional banking institutions. Habitat also promotes successful home ownership through training courses, required buy-in from the homeowners in the term of sweat equity, and bring homeowners in contact with members of their new community. Homeowners are screened, and they are accompanied through the process. With current homes that new from Habitat, they're appraising in the $130,000 range. They bring value above that of the average home that's currently in that area. Is there a need for rehab in the area as well? Yes, there is. But I don't see why both opportunities are not something that we would proceed with or investigate, both building new and rehabbing the older homes that are there. A longtime resident of the Third Ward, very active resident, once said at a meeting last June, when we had a Third Ward gathering talking about the TIF and the I-70 redevelopment, she said she resented the Third Ward is being represented as a slum. We are an area of working class people and affordable housing. I support Habitat for Humanity's proposal to build homes in that area. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next request to speak is Aaron Ginsburg.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, my name is Erin Ginsburg. I live at 430 West Point Court, and I'm here to give you our UCity Kitty update. In the past two weeks, University City TNR volunteers trapped, neutered, vaccinated, and returned two female cats from Ward 3 at no cost to University City taxpayers. We look forward to assisting OpSpot in the spring, neutering feral cats, and in the fall, giving low-cost vaccinations to UCity's pet cats and dogs. We're working on finalizing dates for both. UCity's kitty volunteers look forward to the day when UCity adopts a TNR ordinance to protect our community cats and their colony caretakers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have a little bit of time left in the citizen comment portion, and we have three requests to speak on bill number 9398 that has now been pushed back for 2 weeks. So I'm just asking you, you can speak now or you can speak later, but we can at least get one of you in if you would like to speak tonight. The first one who signed up is Tom Schmidt, second one is Nikita Smith, and then the third one is Joe Edwards. So my question is, Tom, you were first. Would you like to speak, or someone, please. And there's no requirement that anyone speak. It's just it's now a non-agenda item, and so I'd like to give you the opportunity to speak if you'd like to.
Yeah, thank you. I think we'd like to speak as we came out. And my name's Tom Schmidt. I'm the owner of Salt and Smoke Restaurant in the Loop. I've had a business down here for 8 years now and served on the Loop Special Business District Board for over 3 years. Recently, Brent Rome was elected by his peers overwhelmingly to be a representative of Loop organizations on the Loop Special Business District Board. After he was elected, for whatever reason, research was done and a bill was put forth to make him ineligible. Subsequently, that bill would also make Ben Evans, who's been serving for 2 years, ineligible to run again. There's a lot of hard work that goes on in what you do and what the Loop does as a business district, and we're lucky to have people to volunteer their time to help steer and promote the Loop and make it a better place. Retroactively writing a bill to make people ineligible, I think, is inappropriate. I think it works against the values of University City, and I think it works against the betterment of the Loop, and I highly suggest that you vote no on that bill in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you. We've got two folks to speak. Do you just want to go ahead and knock them out, if that's all right with you folks? We've got either Nikita or Joe, whoever wants to. Nikita is signed up next. If you could push the button at the bottom of the...
Right here?
There you go.
Okay.
If you give your name and address, thank you.
Yes, Nikita Smith, 753 Westgate. I'm also on the Special Business District Board, and I'm an owner of a salon, Clarity Salon, in the Del Mar Loop. And I as well feel like the nonprofit or the people that are willing to serve this board and that's willing to benefit the Loop are a value to us. And we should definitely keep them in mind and keep them on our team because we're all for the betterment of our district. And we do want to see us succeed. So, yes, if you guys could really keep that in mind and allow them to be inclusive to this board because they definitely benefit us as a whole. And I just want to see us winning. In the Del Mar Loop. So please consider that. Thank you.
Thank you. Our final request to speak is Joe Edwards.
Joe Edwards, 6504 Del Mar. Get my reading glasses on here. It's been 40 years since the Loop Special Business District was formed. After 8 years of an informal business organization, merchants and property owners agreed in 1980 to make it formal by organizing the Loop SBD. We agreed to tax ourselves extra to provide additional funds to be spent on projects we felt were important to enhance the Loop and reverse the dramatic decline that occurred during the 1960s. Overall, it has worked very well. With the dedicated funds and dedicated volunteers, the Del Mar Loop did come back and was designated one of the 10 great streets in America by the American Planning Association. After 40 years, it is worth reviewing the ordinance. It's also worth taking a pause so all small business owners, office tenants, and property owners have an opportunity to voice their opinions and offer constructive comments. Open government, emphasizing inclusion and not exclusion, has been a hallmark of University City since its inception. I'm proud to live and work in this wonderful city. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. That concludes all folks who have signed up for the evening. We will now move forward, and there's for a public hearing for the liquor license of Pasta House. The hearing will start at 6:56 and be opened. Madam Clerk, do we have any requests to speak?
None at this time.
Thank you very much. We will close the hearing then at 6:56. We'll now move forward to the consent agenda where you have the Only item on the consent agenda is the liquor license for the Pasta House. Is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Hales. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move forward to the city manager's report.
Honorable Mayor and council members, this first item asks council for authorization to contract for tree trimming. I believe Mr. Dunkel is in the audience and would ask him to present this item.
Honorable Mayor, members of the council, we have gone out to bid for tree trimming through various trees throughout the city. The base bid was to do approximately 140 trees randomly through the city in all different wards. The other was for block pruning. Most of this will happen in Ward 3. This is an annual activity that takes place within the forestry division, trying to continue to maintain our trees to proper heights and standards, and we ask for your blessing tonight.
Honorable Mayor and council members, the reason I'd ask that this item be moved to the city manager's report is that Mr. Dunkel has conducted a very brief survey of the street trees, and we now recognize that it has been more than 12 years since some of our trees were pruned. And so I will, as a part of this agenda item, as well as a part of the budget process, ask for additional funding for tree trimming. I recognize that for this item, we want to take advantage of the favorable bids that we've received. So I would ask council for authorization to double the amount that we contribute towards tree trimming, with the understanding that the company must be able to support that additional funding.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Is there a motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Any discussion? Mr. Clay?
Yes. I want to thank the city manager for thinking in these terms of doing more as it relates to our tree trimming. I have a question for Director Dunkel, and I know you're not the forester, so you may not be able to answer this, but somewhat germane to this item. We had a third ward resident who came to many meetings concerned about a tree in her yard, and certainly I, and I know my colleagues in other wards have gotten calls about trees that seem to be on their last legs, and the response has been to trim them where our residents seem to think that the trees just need to go, because they see trimming as kind of a short-term solution. Can you speak a little bit to the criteria, like how are we deciding to trim versus just extract the tree, which I know is a more severe measure, of course, but I get that feedback quite a bit.
Yes, Councilmember Clay. Our city forester is a certified arborist. Once we receive those requests from homeowners, he will go out and he will do a survey of the tree, one, to find out if there's anything wrong with the tree from a hazard standpoint. Do you have splitting? Is it uprooting? Any of those sorts of things, weak branches, limbs, and do an overall assessment. The majority of the time, those just require some pruning. Then he'll continue to go back year after year or time to look at that to see the health of the tree. And there is a ranking system and all that goes involved. A lot of the things that we hear from residents wanting to take out the tree, there is nothing wrong with the tree. It's usually they don't like the location of the tree, or there's leaves falling in their yard, or some branches when the wind blows fall in their yard and they have to pick up and clean up. And that's not a reason enough by our standards to remove a healthy tree. But we will continue to follow up on those trees and assess the health as it moves forward.
Apologize. Thank you very much. We have a motion before the body. Ms. Carr.
Thank you. So may I ask a question? So you said the second was an event that was happening in the third ward, and I didn't quite follow what you were saying, Mr. Dunkel.
Councilwoman Carr, basically we had a base bid and an alternate bid to the bid that we went out with. And the base bid was trees, about approximately 140 trees throughout the whole city, mm-hmm. that needed pruning. The other one, we went out for block pruning for special blocks throughout the city of trees.
Oh, I see.
And all of those are in the third ward. That's where we saw the biggest need, since a lot of the trees in the first ward are in private subdivisions and we don't maintain private subdivisions. Okay. The bigger portion of city trees are in the third ward.
Okay, and I didn't quite understand what block pruning was. So, okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor, this next item asks council to hear a presentation from Mr. Pat Kelly. I don't see Mr. Kelly in the audience, so if you are comfortable, I would like to pull that item and we'll invite him back at a different time.
I think we have to.
Our Mayor, council members, the next item asks for authorization or asks for approval of the 2020 legislative platform. Your approval would result in guidance to our legislative delegation as well as to staff during the 2020 legislative session. The platform highlights areas of revenue and finance, infrastructure, quality services, and local control. There is a particular bill that I have asked our city attorney, Mr. Mulligan, to highlight for you that would have an impact on the revenues that we receive currently. Mr. Mulligan.
Thank you. The one bill that I know is a priority for the Missouri Municipal League as well as the Municipal League of Metro St. Louis is Senate Bill 526. There's a companion bill in the House. And basically that bill would cap the amount of video service fees paid by companies that provide video service and use the public rights of way. Currently, there is a 5% fee on the gross revenues that the city receives. It's approximately $270,000 a year. This bill would cap the amount that the companies would have to pay at $20 of whatever the customer's bill is. And what we've done is we've analyzed the impact on the cities, and depending on how you interpret it, the best case would be a 75% reduction of that, and the worst case would be a 93% reduction of that, and that would apply to every city and also a number of counties in the state of Missouri. The cable company association last year basically proposed similar legislation, and that legislation never made it out of the Senate Commerce Committee. That legislation, though, would have created a classification called competitive video service providers, would have reduced the 5% fee to a cap of 3%. The concept was bring more video service providers in, those that use the right of way, those that don't, and so you have a larger pool of gross revenues that are subject to a fee or tax. There was a strong opposition. I was down there for some of the proceedings, and including the hearing, and naturally the competitors of the cable video service companies were not thrilled about having to pay this tax, and so that never made it out of the Commerce Committee. So this year, there's a new approach, and the new approach is that basically instead of holding the cities harmless by having other companies, competitors pay this fee, they just take the fee away from the cities. So they just take this revenue away from the cities. That is something that's that would have a significant fiscal impact, again, not only on University City, but cities across the state. There is also a provision in the bill that would greatly impact the amount of telephone taxes that these companies would have to pay, these video service provider companies. And basically what that provision states is that if the video service provider is paying 5% of the first $20, and again, under the current law, there is no cap. So if the bill's $100, you have to pay 5% of that $100 in revenue. So what this bill does is it takes that money, whatever is paid on that that $20, which basically is a buck, and then there would be credit against the telephone taxes that company pays as long as an affiliate is providing telephone service. So let's take the example of Charter. Charter has an affiliate that provides video service and pays the city. Charter also has an affiliate that provides telephone service using VOIP technology, voice over internet technology. So, and we've been in litigation with Charter for almost 10 years now over the telephone taxes and alleged underpayment of that. So what Charter would say is, look, if we paid now 270, whatever that number is, after the bill is passed, if it is passed, they would get a credit for that. So let's using the 75% number, 25% of that. So you're talking, I don't know, set roughly 70, a little under 70,000, I guess. What's that? 67.5. They would get that reduced from their telephone tax bill. So not only would they get the break from 270 down to 67.5, best case, and considerably lower, worst case, they would get it. They would pay less telephone taxes as well. So it's kind of a double whammy as far as the impact on the revenue. There are a number of other provisions in that. So it's something that, again, is a priority. That the Cable Television Association rep testified in the Senate last year that the cables companies pay roughly $32 million across the state to cities and counties. So, again, that number would be reduced by 75% best case, 93% worst case. And that's just on the right-of-way use franchise fee piece of it. Then you have the additional amount, which we haven't been able to quantify yet, on the telephone tax. I've been asked to work with the Missouri Municipal League and to testify in the Senate. I've agreed to do that when the bill comes up for hearing. So that I know that's one of their priorities, and I'm involved with that.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, approval of the legislative platform would provide guidance to staff in particular on issues that could emerge. I think John highlights a very good example of where approval of a bill would certainly have a major impact on some of our revenue sources. So it is not practical to have a meeting with the council because the legislature and the legislation moves very quickly. So we want to have some idea of where it's appropriate to support and where it's appropriate to oppose legislation that emerges.
Is there a motion to approve the legislative? Is there a motion? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? The one discussion I would say is I believe the bill that Mr. Mulligan spoke about, I believe the hearing actually is in front, will be in front of the committee that Senator Williams sits on, who represents University City. So to those members of council who have some form of a way to communicate with the senator, it may be good to let him know your thoughts on this particular bill, because I think it would have quite an impact on our budget and a number of other, as John said, municipalities across the state. So, hearing no other discussion, those in favor of the legislative platform, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Mayor, the final item up under the city manager's report is ask that you consider a lease with option to purchase of a fire apparatus, and I would ask Chief Henson to present this item.
Welcome, Chief.
Good evening. Thank you. We are looking to purchase a used fire apparatus from Community Fire Department. We lost, as you all know, we lost one in the floods a few months ago. It was totaled out by the insurance company, and it was one of our newer trucks. They lost it in while rescuing a woman and a child from a vehicle that had been taken in the floodwaters. So we're running at house two with a 21-year-old pumper that the mileage on it's almost 800,000 miles. It has well lasted past its life expectancy. We just had some mechanical issues with it that we're looking at close to $20,000 to fix. And that, with the age of the truck and the stress on the metal, they said there's no guarantee that it will fix the problem. So we're looking at buying short-term, since we're almost two trucks short, is buying a ladder truck from Community Fire Protection District, which is up the road here. They use it as a reserve apparatus, and they have agreed to sell it to us for almost $50,000 less than what they're asking for the truck to for us to take it over and use lease as for now, make sure it fits our what we need it for, and then possible future purchase of the vehicle. The truck has been well maintained. Also, our mechanics have spent hours crawling up and down through and around the truck, and said it's one of the most sound trucks they've seen as far as the used vehicle goes. So that's what we're looking at doing right now.
Chief, I'm sorry. I just asked for you to comment. As I understand it, you are looking at a grant opportunity, possibly for a purchase?
That is correct. The grant opportunity is coming up in just a couple weeks to through the Safer Grant system to work on the purchase of a new vehicle. Because, like I said, even though if we work on this vehicle, we still have the necessity to replace a vehicle that was lost.
And as highlighted in the staff report, the funding to cover the cost of the lease as well as potentially the grant opportunity will cover the cost of the purchase. But if not, those funds would come from the insurance payment that was made.
That is correct. We have been paid by the insurance company. We're to use part of this to lease this vehicle with possible potential purchase and to supplement the 10% that we would have to use to pay the grant.
Thank you very much. Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor Crow. I would just one question about the vehicle that you're purchasing, the used vehicle that you're purchasing. Is that going to be, so the plan is to, in the future, make that the reserve vehicle, and then we're interested in buying a new vehicle. Is that correct?
That is correct. The plan is for it to take the place of the pumper as a frontline vehicle and use that pumper sparingly, just as needed. Put it in back into reserves as where it was before the
right.
The flood took our other truck, to use this as a frontline vehicle until we can purchase a new, completely reliable vehicle.
And the Safer Grant, is that going to be the grant that we use to buy the new vehicle?
If we receive the grant, apparatus grants are some of the hardest to get, but with us having lost a truck and actually being a three-truck town and being down two trucks, this it moves us up the list quite a bit.
Any other questions? And I apologize, Mr. I don't know that I asked for a motion on this one, did I? I have not. Thank you. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move forward to unfinished business. Ms. Reese, would you please give the second reading of Bill number 9397?
An ordinance authorizing amendments to the employment agreement between the city and city manager Gregory Rose.
May we have the third reading?
An ordinance authorizing amendments to the employment agreement between the city and city manager Gregory Rose.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mrs. Carr. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Any discussion? Hearing none, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson? Councilmember Clay? Mayor Crowe?
Aye. Thank you very much. We'll now move forward to, we have no resolutions or bills. Does anyone have any reports from the commissions to which they are the conduit? Ms. Carr?
So finally, the next next city council meeting study session, the Stormwater Task Force will make their presentation to council. We've already received the report, and I know that you are holding your breath waiting for this one, but it is actually pretty great. And the other night when it was raining for my friend Aaron, cats and dogs, they actually were taking measurements on the waters. We did not exceed the limit where a notice went out. So this early warning system that would be in development actually could be used to assure people that they weren't in danger, as well as to warn those that were. So I'm excited. We'll see you next next meeting.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I wanted to just bring recognition to the Arts and Letters Commission and just thank them for the calendar that came out. And I thought that this is probably one of the best calendars that we've had in years, and it was a great calendar. And actually, the young lady that's in charge of the mannequin organization, or the arts organization that was in charge of the mannequins, was here, but she left, and I wanted to thank her. But again, I just wanted to thank the Arts and Letters Commission for a great calendar. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We can now move forward to, I believe, there are no further citizen requests to speak. Council comments. Mr. Clay.
Yes, very quickly. Thank you, Mayor Craig. I wanted to acknowledge our, certainly our police department. I'm not sure if our fire department was involved in the precautionary evacuation of Westover and Hafner Place. For those familiar with the geography of University City, those apartment complexes are in the third ward behind the River de Pere, behind the Olive supermarket, area prone to frequent flooding. And so I want to acknowledge the city team for thinking about those residents and getting there in advance. As it turns out, those apartment buildings that are prone to flooding did not flood, and so folks, I think, were returned to their homes rather quickly. But I think this does just highlight the work of Councilwoman Carr and the Stormwater Task Force team, and just some of the real issues we have. And I know that there is not an easy answer to this issue of Hafner and Westover specifically, but I think we need to continue to push to find one, because that is frankly no way to live, to be constantly worried about one drop of rain and whether or not all that you have might be lost.
Thank you. Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I would like to remind everyone in the audience and those that are listening at home that this Saturday in the University City parking garage will be the unveiling of the mural that was painted by our University City High School students. And we have seen the artwork, and it is absolutely fantastic. And I also believe that the Ice Carnival starts this weekend, so I encourage everyone to come out, especially to the unveiling. The students work very hard on it, and it actually is very excellently done. So I encourage everyone to come out and show them their support. Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Hales, I apologize.
Thank you. I want to follow Councilman Clay's comments and thanking our police department, our fire department, and particularly any of our employees who worked over the Christmas holiday. I did Christmas a little differently this year, and would like to thank the police department for having me ride along Christmas morning with Officer Smith, and particularly to Officer Smith for having me. It was very nice, and I think we all appreciate the work that they all do while many of us are at home with our families on the holiday, coming in and being out there and driving through our neighborhoods and protecting all of us. So thank you very much.
Anyone else? Before we move into closed session, I just have a few comments to make. During the study session, we had the opportunity to hear from the survey company that did the citizen engagement survey. And I hope that those of you who are watching either live stream or here will take advantage of looking at that survey and even giving us further feedback. To all of the citizens who participated in the survey, thank you very much. You helped make us a better place. And in particular to the city staff members, who we got very high marks regarding the services that they provide to our community. I would like to thank you for your dedication and your service to our community, because the scores were incredibly impressive for the level of engagement with our citizens. I judge a little bit of this by, just so you folks know, I kind of judge it by the number of complaints I get, particularly during the holiday season. And the only two complaints I got, of course, I may be kicking myself for saying this, but the two main complaints we got over the holidays were, number one, the calendar wasn't out in time, though I think most of us would say it came out in plenty of time. But what I would say to folks in our community is that one of the typical replies you will get from me when you have a criticism like that is that our calendar is not a product just of our staff. It is a product of our Arts and Letters Commission. And if you would like to see it done a different way, a more efficient way, I would welcome the opportunity to nominate you to the Arts and Letters Commission, because those folks work very hard. We had a number of people who asked if I would make it a priority to get the calendar out earlier. And I will tell you that I hope we always get it out as early as we can, but I think in the scheme of life, if we don't get it out quite before December the 30th, I think we're probably okay. And I'm sure, having made these remarks, someone will tell me if I'm wrong. The other one is, I'm still amazed that we have that one of our complaints continues to be from a very small number, on less than one hand, of whether or not there is enough straw in the dog park. So to me, again, if you think of the path that we have all covered over the past several years, and if these are the concerns that are being presented to us, I hope everyone takes a little bit of a deep breath. When you have the fire chief saying that we're getting the opportunity to work with other fire departments to lease purchase or to lease equipment, and you have the scores coming back on police and fire that we brought back in on ambulance service, I think everyone probably realizes where we have come from and where we still have yet to go. I mean, it's clear when the city manager says that we have 12 years worth of tree trimming to catch up on. For those folks who complain about the city-owned trees, I mean, that tells you that's an awful lot of work for us to do. When the citizen talks about the vacant lot at Olive and North and South, all I will say to everyone is, if you only knew the entire story. It's just one of those moments where you just sort of really do take a deep breath and you just keep moving forward. And finally, I'd like to end with the issue regarding the Loop Special Business District, the people who spoke, and the challenges that come forward. I hope that those folks who are here will ask the members of the LSBD, whether they be property owners or whether they be business owners, that they engage with the members of council in this conversation. Not necessarily inundate us with emails on the day a bill is coming, but actually have a conversation. This bill was not a surprise. This bill was not a surprise. And it would be good for us to engage in a serious conversation about the best pathway forward. I don't believe that there is any ill intent in this bill. I do believe that there are ways that we can probably make this move forward, but it takes all of us having a conversation at a table. Probably some of those conversations aren't going to be here. They're probably going to be one-on-one, but I think those one-on-one conversations are extremely important so that we can find our way through this, because I think all of us care deeply about the success of what we call our downtown area of the Loop, and we would like it to be a strong and vibrant community. So with that, I would ask for a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal. Is there such a motion? Motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Ms. Carr. Is there any hearing? No. Is there discussion? Hearing done. Would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Kostick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson? Councilmember Clay? Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. Thank you very much for coming.